WBEZ's Nonprofit Spotlight is supported by UChicago Medicine, providing expert primary and urgent care with locations throughout Chicagoland. Their walk-in urgent care locations offer a variety of services for adults and kids 7 days a week. No appointment needed. And for the visits that can wait a day or two, flexible hours and online scheduling make it possible to find a primary care provider partner. Learn more at uchicagomedicine.org. This WBEZ podcast is supported by the Crown Family School of Social Work, Policy, and Practice at the University of Chicago. The master's program in social work offers a one-year advanced standing option for students with a bachelor's degree in social work that builds on prior training and connects students with expert faculty and 5 specialized pathways. Apply by February 1st at crownschool.uchicago.edu/socialwork. Inspire change. Shape the future.
I'm Sasha Ann Simons, and this is Reset. Maybe you have a tree on your street that always catches your eye. The shape, the way it flowers, the way the leaves change colors throughout the seasons. But do you know the name of that tree? Would you be able to tell if it was under threat from pests or in need of some TLC? Well, Tree Keepers teaches people like you and me how to keep an eye on trees and be able to read their cues. It's never been so important as our tree canopy in the Chicago area is on the decline. To mark Arbor Day, we spoke with Openlands, a group that maintains public land and people's access to nature, about the importance of trees in maintaining healthy communities. They just planted their 10,000th since the start of the organization several decades ago. I sat down with Michael Davidson, Openlands' new president and CEO, and Pablo Rodriguez, a certified tree keeper with Openlands. We were also joined by Karen Weigert, Reset sustainability contributor and director of Loyola University Chicago's Barnhart Center for Social Enterprise and Responsibility. Mike starts with the role of trees in maintaining healthy communities and a healthy Chicago.
Trees provide enormous ecological value. This is well documented and not remotely controversial. They capture stormwater. They provide habitat for wildlife. They cool us during the extreme heat of the summer. They clean the air. They sequester carbon. They clean the soil.
Wow.
But they also provide economic benefit. Those ecosystem services I just mentioned, that's money saved over the long term. They raise property values. And let's face it, neighborhoods, cities, and regions are competing globally now for talent and resources. And guess what? Turns out we like to live, work, and play in places where trees contribute to overall beauty and livability. But it's the human benefit that I find the most compelling argument for trees in cities like Chicago. Mm-hmm. For many of us, trees are our entree into the natural world. They fascinate us, they inspire us, and for people like Pablo and Karen and me, they represent something greater than ourselves to connect with and commune with, and we need to remember trees define the outside and the outdoors, and It's outside and outdoors where we exercise and decompress and catch our breath and have enjoyable experiences with friends and families. So, you know, trees are about improving our physical and mental health.
Well, there we have it. That's our why right there, Karen. I mean, anything to add to the benefits of trees?
I think that's a wonderful opening because it bridges from the physical, stormwater and heat and air pollution, to the cultural, emotional, the idea that when you're outside, suddenly your stress goes down. But you can also have that conversation about the tree that's in your neighborhood. And you say, oh, I'll go to, I'll meet you somewhere, and it's by a certain tree. So it really is about creating places where we can all thrive for the long run.
Yeah. Does anyone have a favorite tree or maybe an experience with a tree that you can think of? You're nodding, Pablo.
Yes, I do have a favorite tree.
Do you?
Yeah, my favorite tree is the catalpa tree.
Oh.
Some like characteristics of it that make it pretty familiar to kind of tell it apart. It was the first tree that I was able to recognize, so that's kind of one of the reasons why it's also my favorite.
It
kind of goes with that. The first tree you recognize, is you connect with it
and
a lot.
You just don't forget your first.
Yes. So for me, that was a catalpa. It has really white leaves. It has these beautiful white flowers and some of these like green beans kind of looking seeds. So that's really recognizable. A lot of people are able to, like, if you go outside and see it, it's a really big tree street. So I think that's a beautiful. It's pretty common in Edgewater, so my community. So it's also a way to just connect more with my community.
Yes, I love that so much. Mike, what about you?
I think my favorite tree right now, Sasha, that changes year to year. Right now, there is a swamp white oak. I live in the North Park neighborhood in Chicago on the city's northwest side, right across from Northeastern Illinois University.
Yeah.
They have a swamp white oak on the campus. They've actually, they call it the solitary oak. It's an original tree to Chicago from what everybody says. It is absolutely huge. I sit with my dog, Robin, under that tree. I feel connected to absolutely everything when I am next to that tree. And what I love about it, oak trees, they grow slowly and steady, which is why they are long-lived and strong. It takes a long time to create that kind of excellence. So the oak tree is a metaphor for how we should live our lives.
Yeah, I think my favorite trees, when I think of my favorites, they definitely represent where I've grown up, spent, you know, half and half of my life. So pine trees, I love them. I just, there's something about them when the needles drop. I just love them. I love playing with them. Palm trees. Sorry, I had to say it.
Gotta love a palm tree.
My girl from the Caribbean. Love me a palm tree. Palm trees mean I am somewhere very, very warm. But here in Chicago, though, let's bring it back home. Serious business. Trees are under threat, right? As I mentioned up top, the tree canopy here is declining. What is going on, Karen, and how is this comparing to our peer cities?
There have been some challenges with trees over multiple decades. Some of it has been invasive species, actually. Dutch elm disease came through a couple decades ago and took out a significant portion of the trees. And right now, the big one we're experiencing is the emerald ash borer, because ash have been double digits percentage of the trees in the Chicago canopy, and 17% or so, depending on how you look at it. So there have been some threats just from the outside. There have been some questions about how many trees are we replanting when we lose trees. So there's questions about how much have we been able to invest during this time period. And then we're also seeing some changes in the weather. Some trees that used to really thrive here may have harder times as we see weather changes. So there have been a variety of factors happening, while also people have been trying to work on trees and plant them and take care of them. But we have been seeing a decline. It's also not equal. I mean, some parts of the city have much more of a tree canopy than others.
Yeah.
And it's not only Chicago. Certainly other cities have been having some similar challenges. So there's more for Chicago and other places to do.
For sure. Well, Pablo, why did you seek out tree keepers? What got you interested in this?
Yeah, for me, it's actually kind of like a full circle moment now that we're celebrating Arbor Day, because Arbor Day was the reason why I got involved with tree keepers. I'm actually not from Chicago. I'm from Texas. I'm from the South.
So, okay.
Finding programs that are like super into conservation and even celebrations like Arbor Day are not common in the South. So coming to Chicago and learning about Arbor Day was like an amazing celebration, especially being a tree lover. Yeah. And so I decided to go to last year to the celebration that Lincoln Park Zoo was having. They were like cutting down this tree that had just lived its life. So we're creating kind of this ceremony to memorialize it. So I went into that and I fell in love with it. I learned that arborist was a job, and that was just something that I wasn't aware of. So I was like, oh my God, you could get paid to take care of trees?
Yep.
Sign me up. So then I just went home, did a Google search about tree programs in Chicago. Openlands was one of the top things that I found, and that was kind of it. I reached out to them, learned about their tree keeping program, and got involved.
So what's included in the program? Like, what did you learn?
Yeah, so the program, they have three programs right now. There's one that runs in the spring, summer, and fall. The summer one is for the third year this year, will be in Spanish. So I did the Spanish ones last year. And so part of that is you learn how to take care of trees. You don't get thrown into it of knowing how to prune a tree, how to plant a tree. So that's kind of the process of it. You learn the biology of it, what's the stem, what's the roots, to more of the are there part of communities, how do you advocate for a tree? So it's really this like all-inclusive advocating for trees, not only learning about them, but also how they incorporate into the politics and the social aspect of a community.
Yeah.
So it's really integrated into that. And it's part of it's just learning about communicating with other people that love trees. So that's a big part of Openlands, is just connecting with other people that are huge tree lovers.
I gotta say, I'm just in awe of just your passion for this work. It shines through. It's fantastic. You've got the entire room smiling as you talk about your love for trees. Now, Mike, you have trained and certified thousands of people like Pablo through this program. So talk more about that. What's being offered here?
It's the Tree Keeper Program at Openlands. It's over 30 years old.
Yeah.
Sasha,
That's a long time.
This is a beloved program.
Which is why you're on your, 10,000th tree?
We are on our 10,000th tree, and I want to circle back to that in a moment. We've got about 2,400 tree keepers out there, most of them in the city of Chicago, but now we've sort of breached the city line, and we've gone into a couple suburban municipalities. Mm-hmm. About over 19 of those tree keepers are certified, so they have taken the classes, they've passed the test, they took the practicum. Pablo is tree keeper number 1905. Is that right, Pablo?
Yes, that's correct.
And, you know, and so the tree keepers, not only do they learn about trees and learn how to care for trees, but they then, Sasha, they become the advocates. These are trained citizens of the city of Chicago who might see a tree injustice underway, mm-hmm. and they go to their alder, they go to city hall, they go to whomever, and they take action, and something may get done.
That's incredible.
It's the ultimate in the grassroots.
Pablo, we talked here about caring for trees, right? But part of that is pruning,
yes,
which is important when it comes to maintaining healthy trees. You just taught volunteers, I hear, how to do that, how to prune trees. What was their reaction to learning this skill?
Yes. Yeah, so this past weekend, this Sunday, I was down at Chicago State teaching the next fall tree keepers how to do their pruning. So yeah, there was a lot of nervousness around it. You're kind of going in, cutting a tree.
So they think they're doing damage.
Yeah, so a lot of it's thinking that they're damaging it, you're leaving it exposed, or kind of just cutting it some off of its branches. So it's seen a lot of negative, but in reality, it's sort of the complete opposite. It's a totally positive, we're helping the trees grow. So it's kind of this like symbiosis kind of relationship. We're helping the trees help us, give us oxygen, but also without us, the trees also wouldn't thrive as much. So it's kind of this new look at the relationship that people have with trees. So I think part of that is teaching that to community members. There's a lot of fear when it goes into pruning, but so I think just doing the hands-on and then watching it of the beauty that goes with it. Some of it is also therapeutic. You kind of release a lot of the stress just cutting through, working with the trees. So there's a lot of benefits from it, from just building with other community, with other people, to actually taking care of the tree.
I want to come to one of your workshops so badly. I need you to teach me how to do this stuff. So we all get this, Mike. What's the role of the city here in pruning trees?
Well, it's the city's job to do that. I mean, Open Lands is planting its 10,000th tree at a joyful ceremony in Little Village on Friday. Mm-hmm. And there'll be lots of media there and lots of politicians and lots of community members. And it's terrific. Open Lands isn't pretending to play the role of government. There are 4 million plus public trees in the city of Chicago. 10,000 is a drop in the bucket. Mm. And so it's our job to bring attention to the issue of trees in the city, access to nature, the urban canopy, and it's our job to work with the city to get trees in the ground and to put pressure on the city to do the right thing when it comes to its urban tree canopy.
Karen, we know summers are heating up, and we just had a very warm winter, like crazy warm. How does this affect how we need to be thinking about the kinds of trees that we plant moving forward?
It absolutely does impact us, and the weather, as we know, has been changing. We have general senses of where it's going with more heat and different kinds of storms. So it does actually change the kind of trees that can thrive here. And Chicago actually sits kind of between two hardiness zones. That's how different places are classified. And as the weather changes, we're shifting a little bit. So Mike and I were just talking about this before the show. Something that you might see up north, like a white birch, you're going to see less of. They're not going to be happy in Chicago anymore. Mm. It's a little too warm for them. Lots of our favorites, though, maples and oaks.
Yes.
Lots of them are going to be thriving here. And so we'll have to think of some new trees to plant and planting a few that we didn't plant. Many of the trees you're going to see here, though, are still going to thrive. It's really about the edges, but it's also about having a diverse canopy. And that's actually critical to this. As mm-hmm. we look ahead, the city's tree canopy was exposed because such a high percentage was one type. It was ash, as an example.
Yeah.
Going forward, having that diversity will make a thriving, healthier tree canopy.
Just really trying
for
to make
us.
Sure these trees are pest resistant too.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly.
You know, Pablo, I hear you live in Edgewater and you do this work in Little Village, right? That's all intentional, I'm sure. What's it like for you, though, seeing that stark difference in tree coverage? Every day you're commuting between the two neighborhoods.
Yeah, I think that's kind of a blessing and a curse that comes with the job. You become way more familiar with these kind of issues because you just see it every day.
Yeah.
So I'm a hyper focus of that even more because I'm commuting between different neighborhoods. So I live in Edgewater. It has pretty good tree canopy. It's amazing to walk there. One of the reasons why I love the neighborhood. But then I go down to black and brown neighborhoods like Little Village. And it's the same in across the country, especially like in cities like Houston. They're so car centric. And so it's just an experience that I have from growing up in Houston to now seeing it in Chicago. Mm. That black and brown neighborhoods, part of environmental justice, have been left out. of kind of the fight for having more green spaces. So that's kind of my push of why I got involved with the work also, is making sure that Black and brown neighborhoods have access to green spaces, and especially trees. Like you said, nature is a big part of human culture and human connection. So ensuring that all communities have equal access to that.
Absolutely. Time to circle back now, Mike, to that 10,000th tree that you're planting since the company's inception this Friday. So you'll be in Little Village. Chicago's been losing almost the same number of trees every year since 2010. That blew my mind when I heard that. Help us understand those numbers, though. I mean, how should people think about this milestone that you're reaching?
I think Karen unpacked the numbers a little bit when she talked about just the emerald ash borer. That's
right.
One of the reasons why. I mean, that's 17%, 17 to 19% of our public trees. That is consequential. And when you think about just though that 17%, those trees that have come down, those ash trees, they absorb over 300 million gallons annually in just stormwater. That tells you how beneficial trees are. So a part of the loss is just the emerald ash borer. Climate has something to do with it. But I do think the city is getting better. You know, the Lightfoot administration committed to planting 75,000 new trees. The Johnson administration has picked up that mantle and carried it forward. So we are getting a lot of trees in the ground. I think the city is getting much more savvy and sophisticated about how to plant. Karen mentioned the diverse tree canopy and how we maintain and prune our trees. You know, the city undertakes kind of what they call a grid street pattern. We are a grid city.
Which is better.
Which is better. It's better than running around figuring out we've got to trim a tree over there in this neighborhood and that neighborhood. You can bite off chunks of the grid and do it much more efficiently.
Nice. Final thoughts from you, Karen. I mean, anything else stick out to you just about the economic opportunities here that urban forestry presents?
Luckily, people have gone and quantified a lot of this for us, and Mike certainly led off with a lot of the elements in terms of the economic benefits. There are also simple things like it raises property values. If you're lucky enough to own something,
that curb appeal.
The data in Chicago shows an increase there. It also reduces operating costs. If there's a tree that's shading you in the summer, if you're a renter or an owner, you know, your heating and cooling will be changed because that tree is helping you there. But big picture, there are tremendous benefits across the board, and we're learning more and more about the specifications every day. There's a great study going on right now that's looking at cardiovascular health and exposure to mature trees. And so I'm really interested to see more and more of the data come out about how we as humans feel when we're around trees.
We'll leave it there. That's Karen Weigert, Reset's sustainability contributor. Michael Davidson, who's Openland's new president and CEO, and Pablo Rodriguez, who's a certified tree keeper with Openlands. Thank you all so much.
Thank you for having us.
Sasha.
This episode of the Reset Podcast was produced by Linnea Dominic, edited by Meha Ahmed, and mixed by Brenda Ruiz. To hear more conversations about the interesting stories and history in Chicago, make sure to subscribe and head over to wbez.org/reset for a full archive of our interviews. I'm Sasha Ann Simons. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
I love how WBEZ shows different sides of the story. I never feel like it's too polarized, and I think the reporters do an excellent job of trying to get the full story, trying to show different other sides. I'm often, when I'm listening to public radio, think in my mind, well, what about X? Or like, I have another question. Or like, have they thought about X? And most of the time, WBEZ thinks about all of it, which I really appreciate.